the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago.
And with our first Abandoned Manitoba for November, it's time to say hello to Gordon Goldsboro from the Manitoba Historical Society. Good morning, Gordon.
Good morning, Bruce.
Happy November.
And you too.
So remind us of the clue from last week.
Well, Winnipeggers are no doubt familiar with our two major rivers, the Assiniboine and the Red, as well as its smaller cousin, the Seine. And most are probably also aware of two smaller bodies of water along the Assiniboine, Omens Creek and Sturgeon Creek. But how about such water bodies as Browns Creek, Colony Creek, McLeod Creek, and Horseshoe Pond? These are the abandoned waterways of Winnipeg, and they're our topic for today.
Never heard of them. How long have they been gone?
Well, there's no specific date on which they're abandoned, and most of them probably disappeared slowly, basically as people dumped soil and other fill material into them. But most of them were gone by the 1890s, that is, within a couple of decades of when the city began to grow rapidly from its origins as a fur trade post.
And these creeks were mentioned in early documents about Winnipeg?
You know, the best source of information we have about these abandoned creeks are early maps of the city. So, for example, in 1874, a cartographer named John Parr published a map based on surveys that had been conducted of the city by noted early surveyors, names like Duncan Sinclair, Amos Vaughan, Corydon Brown. And in fact, if some of those names sound vaguely familiar, well, yeah, it's because their names are commemorated by streets, Vaughan Street, Corydon Avenue. Well, anyway, this map from 1874, it shows three urban areas at that time, the newly incorporated city of Winnipeg, and it extended as far west as Armstrong's Point. And then there was St. Boniface East, what we call St. Boniface today. And there was also St. Boniface West, and that was today's Osborne Village area. Hmm. The map shows that in addition to the Seine, the Red, and the Assiniboine, there were no fewer than four other creeks discharging into the Red and the Assiniboine. And then in 1881, there was another map by surveyor George McPhillips. And of course, there's the basis for McPhillips Street. It showed more of the area east of the Red River, and it included a waterway that discharged into the Red on the opposite side of the river from the Forks, roughly where the St. Boniface Hospital is located today.
Really interesting. So let's talk about a few of them in particular. Where was Colony Creek? Because that sounds familiar. Was that the one that ran through downtown?
Yeah, exactly. Well, okay. Of course, today we have Colony Street, and it takes its name from the creek because the street used to run along the west bank of the creek. And in fact, the creek itself, Colony Creek, probably got its name from the Red River Colony or the Selkirk Colony. Those were two sort of possible names for the community at the time. And essentially, Colony Creek defined the west boundary of something called the Hudson's Bay Company Reserve. That was a 465-acre area of downtown Winnipeg that was given to the company in partial compensation for extinguishing its claim to Western Canada. Now, a few weeks back, we talked about early brewing, and I mentioned that there had been a brewery in this area. In fact, Colony Creek is memorable because one of the first breweries in the region was on its banks, and they used water from Colony Creek for brewing the beer. Well, Colony Creek began to be filled in the late 1880s as contractors in the area, they were starting to build buildings of various kinds. They would dump the soil that they excavated during the construction of the building. You know, something that we would never tolerate today, just taking soil and just dumping it into a creek.
Right.
And in fact, in 1896, the city of Winnipeg, the actual government of the city, allowed residents to fill in the creek with what they called refuse earth, so long as their neighbors didn't object. And again, something we'd never be allowed to do today, you know, so that by the early 20th century, Colony Creek was gone. And you might say, well, how could they possibly do that? Like, what happens to the function of that creek? Well, in fact, of course, we built along with houses and streets and all that, we built sewers. And so the drainage function of Colony Creek was basically taken over by the sewers, and they would then conduct the water underground, eventually over to the Assiniboine River.
Interesting. So another one that you mentioned was Browns Creek. What about that one?
Well, in some sources, it's actually also referred to as Ross's Creek or Sinclair's Creek, which, you know, reflects the, you know, basis of the name. And so the creek itself ran from around Princess Street through Main Street over to the Red River along William Avenue, and it crossed Main Street roughly where the City Hall complex is located today.
Wow.
In fact, in the 1870s, you know, soon after Manitoba became a province, there was a rickety wooden bridge called Brown's Bridge that allowed people and wagons on Main Street to cross over this bridge. And I've seen all kinds of stories about a fellow coming into Winnipeg with his little boy and leaving his little boy sitting on the bridge on Brown's Creek to fish from the bridge while dad went in and did his business in town and then came and picked up Junior on the way back home again.
Where did that name come from, Brown's Creek?
Well, we believe it was named for an early municipal official named Alexander Brown. He was the city clerk for Winnipeg. Now, I said before, it has other names, and some people might have called it Sinclair's Creek because it actually, where it discharges into the river, was at the eastern end of something called Sinclair Street. Now, that should be not terribly familiar for people because, of course, it's not there anymore. It's actually been renamed Bannatyne Avenue, but it was named for that early surveyor I mentioned before, Duncan Sinclair.
So what happened to Brown's Creek?
Well, it had already been filled in mostly by the early 1870s when the city was first getting established. And in fact, the city's first city hall was built atop the newly filled in creek bed. You might imagine, you know, putting a building on top of a recently filled in creek bed might have, you know, might not be the most solid foundation. And in fact, by 1876, big cracks were beginning to appear in the city hall building as it basically sank into the former creek bed. So by early 1883, the building was so bad that it had to be propped up with poles. There's actually pictures of it propped up. So eventually they just had to demolish it. And then they built a new city hall, the one that heritage advocates like to call the gingerbread city hall, the one that survived well into the 20th century. But even it was said to have fairly major structural problems as a result of having been built over a former creek bed. So Brown's Creek, basically it's gone by the mid-1890s.
You mentioned there were four creeks flowing into the Red and Assiniboine.
Yeah, the PAR map, the one from 1874, it actually shows an unnamed creek, doesn't have a name on it, north of Brown's Creek, that flowed into the Red, roughly where the old Alexander docks are located today. It headed north toward Point Douglas, and it eventually petered out roughly at the site of the CPR station on Higgins Avenue. The 1881 map, it shows a second unnamed creek in North Point Douglas, but both of those creeks are gone in maps from the early 20th century.
So did any of these abandoned creeks survive past, like, into the 20th century?
Yeah, if you go into the north part of Winnipeg, what was called North Kildonan, we have McLeod Creek. And it was located in the vicinity of what is now the Rossmere Golf and Country Club. Mm-hmm. And eventually it split into two. One of the channels headed east through the golf course and eventually ended up in East Kildonan. A second stream sort of headed south past Lord Wolseley School. And that creek was still existing as recently as 1962. So, you know, relatively recently.
Yeah.
But it was described by the local residents as a stinky cesspool. So it sounds like they were not keen on keeping it around, and it looks like it has been filled in since then. Mm-hmm. But, you know, there's a remnant that you can see if you've ever driven along Henderson Highway in this vicinity of where the old creek used to be. There was an early resident named Angus Matheson, and he operated a grist mill, a mill for grinding grain.
Mm-hmm.
It was located right on the banks of McLeod Creek, and his millstones, the ones that actually did the grinding, are part of the monument on Henderson Highway. So there's a little bit of a nod to that early milling activity connected to the creek there.
And so we can't see any of these today, but are there any remnants of creeks that are visible?
Well, yes. In fact, there's a really interesting one, I think, in the 1881 map of Winnipeg and St. Boniface. It shows a large oxbow. Now, an oxbow is an abandoned portion of the river, sort of, you know, prairie rivers typically meander back and forth, and over time, they sometimes cut off portions of the river, and you'll see these sort of crescent-shaped river pieces all over the prairies.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, you see there's a large oxbow of the Red River, and it discharged into the Red around the site of the St. Boniface Hospital. In fact, most of the Norwood neighborhood in Winnipeg is inside that Oxbow. And the outer edge of the Oxbow is basically Enfield Crescent. Now, if anybody's driven in St. Boniface, they know that Enfield Crescent's kind of strange in that most of the streets run, you know, straight. They're east-west, north-south, but Enfield kind of goes at a curve. And the reason is Enfield Crescent follows the bottom of that old river channel. And so as a result, if you're driving along Enfield, the houses on the south side of the street are conspicuously higher than those on the north side. And the reason is they're up on the bank of the old Oxbow. The other feature that people might be familiar with is if you're driving along St. Mary's Road, you know, and it's going straight and then suddenly it deviates over to the west. And you think, why did the street have to bend? Like, why didn't it just go straight ahead? Well, the reason is St. Mary's Road used to be a Red River cart trail. You know, it used to head south and down towards the United States, and it had to deviate because if it didn't, it would go right into the old River Oxbow. And so on those early maps from the 1870s, you see that Oxbow, and they call it Horseshoe Pond because, you know, looking from above, it's sort of U-shaped, something like a horseshoe. And it was huge. It was a great big area covering much of, say, what we call today Norwood.
Great one today, Gordon. That's excellent. So let's talk about what your topic is for next week.
Okay, well, next week we're going to visit an abandoned building along Fisher Avenue in Portage la Prairie that illustrates what I think is a marked change in our public transportation system that has happened through the years.
Wow, look forward to that one too. Okay, Gordon, talk to you next week.
We'll see you then. Bye-bye.
Puts me back in Manitoba. Many moons.